So it's been really good the last few weeks. For those that haven't been here, last week Pastor Brian spoke on, his first point was make sure the foundations are right. And what I want to talk on this morning is building our lives on the foundation of truth. And he spoke a lot about truth last week. And he spoke about how we're living in a post-truth era where sometimes, you know, where truth can be relative. And if you have access to the City Builders podcast, feel free to jump on there and have a listen to that. I just think it was so awesome. But his first point was about making sure the foundations are right. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the foundation that we need to build on is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I'll say it boldly, there's no other way. So, you know, this morning I just want to talk a bit about that, maybe unlock a little bit about, you know, what a foundation is. And then I've got three or four points. I think I've got 4 points, you know, about how we can build our life on a good foundation. So is that all right? Good stuff. So we've got to get the foundations right. I'm not a builder. I'm slightly handy, but I'm definitely not a builder. And we're building a house at the moment, and it got me thinking a lot, because when the builder rang me and said, "Oh, the slab's going to go down, you know, in 2 weeks' time." This is a few weeks back, and I was like, "Oh, why so long?" And he said, "Oh, no, the guys will be working, but they'll set the foundation. That takes about a week and a half, and then we lay the slab." And it just got me thinking that even just for a house, the preparation in setting the foundation took a week and a half. All I thought, they would just come in, scrape a bit of dirt away, put some concrete down, job done. But it's so much more than that. And for those that are builders or have got any more idea of building than I do, you would know this. So if the foundation is not set right, eventually cracks will show. All right, we all know this. Makes sense. So the importance of a strong foundation. Ultimately, the strength of a building lies in its foundation. The main purpose, and this is why, you know, it takes a week and a half to set it and prep it. And I watched them do this, and there was all these different things that they went through and they did to make sure that it was going to be strong, that there was not water damage wouldn't get in, and all this different sort of thing. The main purpose of the foundation is to hold the structure above it and keep it upright. The foundation must be built in such a way that it keeps the ground moisture from seeping in and weakening the structure. So this is in the natural I'm talking about. This is how, you know, the three basics of setting a foundation, but I just so believe that it can just so correlate with our lives. So first of all, it's to bear the load of the building. Second, it's to anchor against natural forces such as earthquakes, storms, and all that sort of thing. And thirdly, it's to isolate it from the ground moisture. So that's pretty cool. I don't know if you're bored already, but when I was reading this and looking into this, I was just like, wow, this is so true, and how important the foundation is in our life. So Matthew 7, 24 to 27, it talks about building on the right foundation. And it says, "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them," this is Jesus talking, "will be like a wise man, a far-sighted, practical, and sensible man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods and the torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish," this is the Bible, the Amplified, "stupid man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods and the torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was its fall." So foundation is vital. Foundation is important. You know, and we've got a choice. We can be like the sensible man or the wise man who hears and acts on the word of God to build our foundation, or we can be like the foolish man. that, you know, is directed maybe by our own ideas, our opinions, our hurts, our fears, the different things that have gone in our life that can, you know, set us on a direction. I know who I want to be. So it's interesting in that it says the attack came, well, it doesn't say this, but this is what I picked up from it. The attack came to both the wise and the foolish. So building on a strong foundation is not about stopping the storm, but it will determine if you're standing at the end of it. You know, it says there, yet he was still standing. Sorry, yet it did not fall. So the foundation of our life is vital. So it's to bear the load of, you know, what God's building. You know, imagine Joseph. For those that don't know the story of Joseph, what he went through was just, you know, you think about it, his foundation must have been pretty tight for what he went through. But where God was calling him was just amazing. And so there had to be this foundation that was set strong and accurate and right. You know, to anchor us against the attack of the enemy or even life. You know, sometimes life is tough. You know, sometimes life happens. Sometimes things happen. Tragedy happens. You know, we make wrong decisions. We make dumb decisions. You know, that sort of thing. Sometimes life can be hard, but when our foundation is set right, when our foundation is set wrong, you know, it can anchor us against the attack of that sort of thing. And it also protects and covers us from, you know, deception. And one of the things we've been talking about recently is truth. And then the season and the era we're in. So the foundation of our life is vital, amen? It's vital. So I've got 4 points this morning. This probably won't take long. Generally, when I preach, it's generally pretty sharp, short and sweet. But hopefully it hits the mark and hopefully it speaks to you this morning. So how do we build the foundations right? Number one, you must know Jesus Christ. Really simple, but very powerful. This is, I believe, non-negotiable. There is no other way. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered and he said, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So knowing Jesus Christ is vital to a strong foundation. You know, firstly, I believe you need to be born again. It's when we accept and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in John 3:16, we know this scripture well. I think Corey spoke on it at communion there. What's it say? Because it's just, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we need to be born again. And I know we've heard this story. Maybe our visitors haven't, I don't know. But, you know, there's the story that goes that, you know, through Billy Graham's, you know, life and ministry, he just was for always saying, you must be born again. You must be born again. When he preached, when he spoke, when he did everything, anything, you must be born again. And then at some point in his life, he was being interviewed. And the interviewer said, you know, why is it that you say you must be born again? And his response, I think, is just so good. He said, because you must be born again. So it's just so good. You know, we need to know who Jesus Christ is. Secondly, I believe we've got to come to him daily. Got to come to him regularly. Come to him daily. This is not a business transaction. The relationship between Jesus Christ and you is not a business relationship. It's not a business transaction. It's the most important relationship that you'll ever have. Yet it can be the most neglected. So we need to come to him daily, building and working on this relationship. You know, if I don't talk to my wife, I don't get to know her. It's almost like you could live under the same roof and not know her. Here's a classic example, very honest. We've been married 14 years. I didn't realize how much she wanted a good, expensive ring. Now, I'll tell you the story because this sounds really bad on me. When I proposed to her, I thought, oh, I won't buy her expensive ring. I'll buy her a piano because she played piano and loved piano. I thought that was a great idea. So I bought her a piano and a cheap ring because that's all the money I had. And then I said, but I said, don't worry, before we're married, I'll get you a proper ring. Anyway, I forgot that. And we got a nice ring. It was like a grandma's ring. We redid it. There's a couple of diamonds and that sort of thing. But I didn't realize that there was just something in her heart that just really wanted a nice ring. And I think that's awesome. But it's only been till recently that I've discovered this. And at the odd occasion when she's mentioned it, I've laughed and gone, oh yeah, whatever, sort of thing, and didn't realize. My point is, because, you know, communication, and we're talking, and it might be a bit awkward and all that sort of thing, but I've begun to learn more about something Heidi would like. Does that make sense? So if you don't talk, if you don't relate, if you don't connect, you don't really know someone. And the Word is just, you know, full of things talking about coming to Christ daily, you know, coming to Him regularly, coming to Him. It says in, you know, Chronicles, seek His face always. Devote your heart and your soul to seeking the Lord. In James, it says, come near to God and He'll come near to you. There's this theme in Scripture is right through the Bible about coming to God, coming to Jesus regularly, building that relationship, developing that relationship. It's not enough to just believe or just say the prayer. I believe. We need to know Him. We need to know Him. Develop a relationship with Him. Spending time with Him. You know, Sunday is not enough. Just Sunday is not enough. There's more than that. It's a relationship. If I talk to my wife one day a week, it wouldn't be a great relationship. If I came and, you know, we had a celebration once a week or something, you know, like we do at church, I don't get to know her the way I should know her. Yeah? It's not casual acquaintance. Knowing Jesus is vital. Knowing about Him is very different to knowing Him personally. So the first point this morning is we need to know Jesus Christ. Amen? Problem. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. So in Matthew 7:21, this is what it says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is a sobering scripture. And why the importance of knowing Jesus Christ is so important. You know, you can read every book on your sports hero. Who's your sports hero? Or who's your hero, Wade? Do you have a hero? Sports hero? Paddy Mills. All right, Paddy Mills. Paddy Mills, I think, is an Australian basketball player. Yep, was vital in Australia getting as far as they did in the recent World Cup basketball or whatever. Paddy Mills. Levi could read every book about Paddy Mills. He could watch every YouTube clip. He could even almost copy the way that he moves and he ducks and he weaves and he shoots and lay up and all that sort of thing. He can do all that sort of thing and not really know Paddy Mills until he meets him face to face. You know, so and talks to him and builds relationship with him. You know, so this is vital. You know, we can come to church, we can even be born again and not know him, not truly know him. And I don't want to, you know, upset you this morning. Or freak you out or anything like that. But I'm just saying, for some here this morning, this could be the first time you're hearing about Jesus Christ. I don't know everyone here. For some of you here, I do know you've been coming to church and you've got a personal relationship with Him and you have for years. That's awesome. But I do believe for you, we can go deeper and to get a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, because this is vital to our foundation. Amen? So, I've talked about that. How can we be sure that we know Jesus? And the answer is pretty simple. In 1 John 2:3, it says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That's harsh. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." So we need to keep his commandments. We need to keep his words, and we need to walk just as he walked. Amen. This is how we know that we know Jesus. Number two, you must know who you are in Christ. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And in the Amplified Bible, which I love reading, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creation, a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, they've passed away. Behold, all things have become new because spiritual awakening brings new life." That's awesome. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You know, we need to know who we are in Christ. If you truly know Christ, you're a new creation. If you truly know Christ, you are a new creation, amen? The old has passed away, all things have become new. Sometimes that can be really hard to really grasp, but all things have become new. Not just made right, not just patched up, not just, you know, put a band-aid over something, but all things have become new. It's almost hard to completely understand, but that's what the word says. This is powerful. If we truly knew who we are in Christ, we'd be unstoppable. If you truly knew, if I truly knew who I am in Christ, I'd be unstoppable. Unstoppable. It's hard for the enemy to knock you about when you're in Christ. It doesn't mean the storm won't come, but it's hard for the enemy to knock you over or knock you about when you're found in him. You know, the enemy can't find you when you're in Christ. If he comes looking and you're in Christ, what he finds is Christ. So this is awesome. This is powerful. You know, I was thinking about this through the week. Who's ever dropped something, gone to pick it up, and it's just disappeared? Gone. Have you ever done that? Or am I just the only silly one here? The only blind, well, you're blind, no. Sometimes I've dropped something like right next to me on the table. And then I'm like a pen lid or something. And you look down and you're like, where'd it go? And you're rummaging and you're moving stuff and you're like, where the heck did, and you get frustrated. And you get, you know, where did that pen lid go? I just want to put the pen lid back on my pen. It's gone in this space. It's gone. Have you ever had that happen? And you come back 2 hours later and it's sitting right there in the middle of the kitchen table. Have you ever had that happen? This is like a little bit what it's like about being hidden in Christ. The enemy knows you're there, but he'd be daft if he could find you because you're found hidden in Christ. Amen? Doesn't mean things won't go on around us or around you. But we can be protected when we're in Christ. In Colossians 3:3, it says, "For ye are dead," and it's talking about the old man. The old man has passed away. "And your life is hid with Christ in God." So you're hidden in him. You're hidden in Christ in God, with Christ in God. When our lives are hidden in him, it's like the enemy drops something and can't find it. You know, we're covered and we're hidden in Christ. Amen? All hell can be breaking loose around you. And it's like trying to find what it dropped. All hell will be breaking loose around you. But you're covered and you're protected because you're in Christ. You're with Christ. Amen? So is that all right? So number one, what was number one? Must know Jesus Christ. Number two. You sure? Number two. You must know who you are in Christ. Number three. You must know who Christ is in you. Now, some of our discipleship guys will know what I'm preaching this morning because we've been talking about this in discipleship with Pastor Brian and some of the other leaders. So number three, you must know who Christ is in you. So in Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. Paul had a revelation. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. You know, that's a revelation. He knew who God was in him. Amen. He had a revelation of that. And in Galatians 4, it talks about how he... Let me read it so I don't get it wrong. Galatians 4:19. This is Paul talking again. My little children, whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So Paul had this revelation of Christ in him, who he was, you know, in Christ. He'd had this revelation. And then a little while later, it was his mission to invest that into others, to know, you know, who Christ is in them. That was like his mission. He labored to invest and to put that into others' lives. So this is how we break the power of chains, break the power of barriers, break the power of fear and addiction and all this sort of stuff. This is how we break this, by getting a revelation of who, which one are we up to? Who Christ is in me. This revelation, this relationship with Christ is powerful. It's powerful, and it's a mystery to those that don't know him. You know, even sometimes to us, I think, you know, even to me, could I really be born again? Could I really be found in him to the point where I'm completely free? Sometimes that can just be big on our mind. You know, I know for me, you know, in the early years, it was just like, could God forgive me? Could he really forgive me? Well, if he can't, he's not the God he says he is. But he did, so he is the God he says he is. So I just really believe that this generation, and I'm not talking about age specific here, I'm just talking about you this morning, will be able to walk free from the past, completely free. You know, it's like Pastor Brian's been talking about the 10 lepers and how he healed the 10 lepers, and they left all healed, but only one came back and was completely renewed, completely restored. I just really believe that there's a generation that are going to walk with this knowledge, with a foundation so strong that they know who Jesus Christ is. They know who they are in God, and they know who God is in them. They're going to walk this way completely free, not perfect, you know, not perfect, not without, you know, stuff going on, but they'll be able to walk completely free from the things that can hold us back. I believe this. You know, in Romans 8, let's read that. Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So when you receive Jesus, you're born again. And I don't know if you've done that this morning. I know a lot of you here, but I don't know everyone here this morning. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again. His Spirit, His Holy Ghost, lives in you, dwells in you. You know, we've been recreated into the image and the likeness of Jesus. Our spirit has taken on his image. You know, this is what happens when we receive Christ. Our spirit has taken on his life. We have the full potential of living, acting, and becoming like him. The potential on the inside of you when we find out who we are in God is powerful and almost limitless. Amen. The potential because of who Jesus Christ is in you. What Christ did, what he won on the cross is just awesome. You have access to that, to be able to live a free life because of that. If we know who we are in Christ, the potential is awesome. Romans 8:11, the next one. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit, his spirit who dwells in you. So that's awesome. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's awesome. That's amazing. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So you can walk in life. You can walk in complete freedom, in complete victory. Amen. And it's interesting. So it says, but if the spirit of him who raised, but it gives you, it's like an alternative lifestyle is available. But all this stuff can be going on. You know, our minds can be completely, you know, taken over by stress and anxiety and all these different things because of whatever that's going on in life. But there's an alternative to that. But if, the if is the condition of your response. We don't have to live in the old. We don't have to receive Jesus Christ into our heart as our Lord and Savior, but still battle the things of the past. We can win above that. We can win over that because of Christ in us. Amen? Amen. This is powerful. If we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us in full measure, he'll give us life, healing, restoration. He'll make all things new. If it's the response of our heart, the response of our action, of our attitude. You know, if we allow this, the full measure of Jesus Christ, then we can live completely free. I hope this is okay this morning. You're hearing what I'm putting out? Good. You're going to get an early lunch. Number four. You all smiled now. You're looking at me serious. Number four. You must know that you are redeemed by his blood, forgiven, and that you belong to him. So what I'm talking about this morning is building a firm foundation. You know, building a foundation that God can not only build on, but a foundation that can, you know, weather the storms of life, but also not allow the stuff of life to seep in and to erode. You know, sometimes we go from believing a truth to not believing a truth because we've just allowed different things to get in there and slowly, 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 slowly change our mind almost to believe something different. You putting your hand up to say something? Number four, you must know, Lenny, that you are redeemed by his blood, forgiven and belong to him. Such a good point. I had to make sure I wrote it down. All right, Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You're redeemed. Amen? You're redeemed. Now, I don't know if what I'm saying this morning is very basic, all right, but and maybe it is. It's the foundation of knowing who Jesus Christ is. But I just really believe that we're just coming into a place where we can know him in such a way that we can walk and live free. Amen. That's why I want to talk about this morning, because I reckon our foundation needs to be set right, needs to be set strong. Amen. You with me? All right. So you're redeemed. You're forgiven. You know, you can be redeemed. If you don't know him this morning, you can be redeemed. You can be forgiven. In him, we can have access to the richness of his grace. You know, in him, we can have access to the richness of his grace. So you are redeemed, you're forgiven, and we've got access to the richness of his grace. The problem is, we can be saved, but sometimes not truly believe or know this. You know, I know I said before, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, did some dumb things, and found my way back to God. And but then I battled with this thing of, could God really forgive me? Could he really, really forgive me? And it held me back in a sense. I still followed God. I still, you know, did all the you know, I went to church and I love God and I, you know, all that sort of stuff. But there was this area in my life that I felt was held back because I was like, could God really forgive me? Could he really forgive me? Well, you know what? He has. It's done. It's finished. It's what he said on the cross. It is finished. Amen. So we can be saved, but sometimes not truly believe some of these foundational truths. So I'll read Ephesians 1:7 again, this time in the Amplified. It says, in him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and our salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin. He paid the penalty for our sin, amen, and resulted in the forgiveness and the complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace. Man, God's grace is over you. You are redeemed. You're forgiven. Amen. Amen. There's a move, I believe, happening. You know, and I'll say it again, in this generation. And it's not age specific, but I just believe, you know, I know this is what we've been talking a lot about here. And it's not just here. But I just really believe there's this this season or this move happening in a generation that will walk completely free from their past in a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, complete. So the 10 lepers, they all got healed, maybe saved. I don't know what happened there, but they all got healed. But only one came back and got made completely whole. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. So they'll walk free from their past, you know, in a fresh revelation of Jesus. So Colossians 2, I've got a few scriptures this morning. Verse 14. This is powerful. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So it says there, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. That just basically means the certificate of debt. It's been cancelled, been sorted, been done with what Jesus did on the cross. Every word, every decree, every lie that's been spoken against you that's contrary to the word of God has been removed and has been cancelled. Amen? It's been nailed to the cross, it said there. Nailed to the cross when Jesus died on the cross. Not only that, but he made a public spectacle. Ha-ha, it's done. Finished. He didn't just go about it quietly. He made a public spectacle. Completely disarming its power and triumphing over it. It this morning is whatever can hold us back from living in an absolutely free life with him. I'm spitting everywhere. Sorry. You see it in the sunlight. We So it, this morning, is everything that can hold us back. Every barrier, even addiction, anxiety, depression, these things that can just hold us back. It was done. Christ took it and he nailed it to the cross, and he didn't just do that. He made a public spectacle of it, winning over it. I don't know how else to say it more enthusiastically or in your face, but he dealt with it. It's done. It's finished. He completely disarmed the power that it can have over us. The truth is, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, every barrier you face, every addiction that we struggle with, every fear, sin, sickness that we have, has zero power other than what we give it. So what Christ did is done. He nailed it to the cross. He made a public spectacle of it. It is done. It is finished. God gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Addiction, fear, you know, you name it. I don't want to name everything this morning. Is only a name. It is only a name. And Jesus has the name above every other name. It's done. It is finished. The only power it has sometimes is what we give it. But if we can set our foundation right, man, we're on the right track to being able to live completely free over this stuff. I hope this is hitting home this morning. God is showing us how to enter a new place in this season. And I reckon God, in his grace, in his absolute grace, is showing us a way that we can live in complete freedom. Complete freedom. I don't know if I fully get this. I definitely don't know if some of you do. We can live in this way. The foundation needs to be set right. God is showing us how to enter a new place in this season, to walk completely whole, to build our foundation strong and accurate. Do you want to jump on the keyboard? And to rise and impact our city with the life-changing power of Jesus. You know, this is what I reckon God is showing us, how to enter this place where the foundation is just set so right and so strong that we know Jesus Christ. We know him. We don't just have heard of him. We don't just read about him in the book, although that's good, but we know him. We know him. We come to him daily. That we know who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. You know, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit. Now, that wouldn't have been a weak and mild and quiet spirit. I would imagine you'd need something pretty hefty to raise someone from the dead. That's the Spirit that lives in you. That's the Spirit that dwells in you. It's life-giving. Amen? It's life-giving. It's devil-shaking. It's, addiction-breaking power. Amen? And God is showing us how to enter this new place. And we must know that we're redeemed by his blood. You're forgiven this morning. Forgiven. You've been set free to walk completely and wholly in his grace. Amen?